Hearts and our ears and our minds to hear what you've got to say to us. And we pray that you will anoint John as he comes to bring your scripture and open your word up to us this Sunday morning. Amen.
Amen. We're continuing the resurrection reality stories. And this morning, the title is A Second Chance. I love the post-Easter stories when Jesus appeared to his friends. But my favourite has to be the beach scene with Simon Peter. Probably because I see a lot of my own weaknesses in Peter and his personality. This morning, I want to talk about two fires and to draw out two points from this passage from John chapter 21. The first fire is failure is not final with Jesus. And the second fire, forgiveness leads to fresh work. The first fire, remember in John chapter 13 verse 8, Peter had insisted loudly and emphatically he would remain loyal to Jesus. He's not going to let him down. He wants to follow Jesus wherever he goes, to prison, to death, or wherever. Then, a short while later, in John chapter 18, verse 10, Peter tries and fails to follow Jesus. He gets it all horribly wrong. When Jesus is arrested in the garden, impulsive Peter cuts off the ear of the high priest's servant. Then instead of getting out quickly before anything worse can happen, Peter stays and gets it wrong again. In chapter 18, verse 12, Peter and another disciple follow as Jesus is taken to the house of Caiaphas, the high priest. And the girl asks Peter, "Are you another of this man's disciples?" Peter denied he was. And then Peter denied Jesus twice again as he warmed himself in front of a fire in the high priest's courtyard. At that moment, the rooster crowed, just as Jesus had predicted in Matthew 26. "This very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." Can you imagine how Peter felt going out of that courtyard, angry with himself at his failure, knowing that Jesus knew that Peter had let him down so quickly, and hearing the next day what had happened to Jesus when he was crucified? Not even the resurrection itself could wave a magic wand to rid that memory in Peter of his failure. More than 30 years ago, I felt I'd failed and let Jesus down. I'd been a journalist for 15 years. I hadn't got anywhere. I was going to give up running, being a journalist. I was running my own newspaper 3 days a week, working on the Express and Star in Wolverhampton for 3 days a week, six long days. I was exhausted. I went with Jan, my wife, and our two young boys then to spring harvest, Easter holiday at Butlins in Skegness of all places. It was the Christian festival. I remember praying before I went, "Lord, I know I failed, but I need some encouragement if you want me to continue in journalism." I'll come back to that story later. The second fire, forgiveness leads to fresh work. After Jesus' resurrection, Peter and some of the disciples went out fishing. But that night they caught nothing. The next morning, Peter was on the beach, but they didn't recognize him straight away. He said, "Friends, have you caught anything?" And they said, "No." He said, "Throw the net on the other side and you'll make a catch." And they did. And they caught many fish. So many they couldn't haul them on board. And then the disciple whom Jesus loved, John, said to Peter, "It's the Lord." Peter plunged into the sea immediately and went to the shore where Jesus was standing by a fire. Interestingly, the Greek word for fire used in this morning's reading from John 21 is anthracia, which means literally a fire of coals. It's only used in one other place in John's Gospel. Guess where that is? In John chapter 18, verse 18, where Peter warmed himself by the fire in the high priest's courtyard, and where Peter denied his Lord three times. Jesus told Peter to bring him some of the fish they caught, and he invited the disciples to have breakfast with him. Until I came to this study, I never realized one aspect of this story. When the disciples came to land the boat, we're told Jesus already had the fire laid with fish and bread. Jesus didn't really need the disciples' fish. He's well capable of looking after himself. Perhaps he wanted to include the disciples and let them feel part of the meal with the fish they had caught. But he didn't need their fish. Reminds us, sometimes we don't have to do everything, though God is waiting for us to get on with things. Sometimes we think, if we don't organise things, they won't happen. If we don't tell people the good news, they won't hear it. If we don't change the world, it won't be changed. Of course, we must work hard as Christians. We must be organised. And there is no excuse for laziness, sloppiness, or half-heartedness in the kingdom of God. If it is God's work we're doing, we must do it with all our might. But we must remember, Jesus wants us to be involved, but he doesn't need us to get the work done on our own and in our own strength. After breakfast, Jesus says, in one of the most spectacular interchanges in the whole of the Bible, Jesus asked Peter three times, "Do you love me more than these others?" Peter replies, "Yes, you know that I love you." "Then feed my lambs." Three times Jesus asked Peter that question, and three times Peter replied that he loved Jesus, and three times Jesus tells him to feed and tend my sheep. When Jesus had stood in front of another fire in the high priest's courtyard, he denied Jesus three times. Sometimes we have to go back to our point of failure to revisit that place, either literally or on our minds, to say sorry before we can move on in the Christian life. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, which takes away the sins of the world, Peter's failure can be forgiven, and so can our failures be forgiven. Jesus took Peter back to his moment of failure to revisit that place again, so Peter can be healed by Jesus. And so can we be healed of our failures, and then we can move on in confidence now that we have been forgiven. Today, in many churches, including here, there are people who are following Jesus' example and helping Christians pastorally with the healing of memories. They help others through prayer to find forgiveness as they return spiritually to their point of failure to enable a deep, unhealed wound to be healed through love and prayer. If you're feeling a failure, bring that failure to God this morning. If you want further prayer for deep unhealed wound to be healed, talk to the deacons after the service. When Peter professes his love, Jesus doesn't say, "Well, that's all right then." He gives Peter a new job and a new challenge as he says, "Look after and feed my sheep." Even though Peter had denied Christ, he was forgiven and reinstated. I often wondered, well, what about Judas Iscariot? He betrayed Jesus. Could Judas have been forgiven and reinstated with Jesus and the other disciples if he'd shown some remorse? I believe he could have been. I read an excellent article the other week that said Judas's betrayal of Jesus was deliberate. It was carried out in cold blood and was probably the result of careful thought and planning, whereas Peter never really meant to deny Jesus. He was swept away in a moment of weakness. Peter knew all. Jesus knew all about Peter and his impulsiveness. He spoke with his heart before he thought with his head. Jesus knew Peter in all his love and loyalty, and that whatever Peter did, Jesus still loved him. Jesus knew not only what Peter was, but what he could become. Jesus knew at that moment in the high priest's courtyard, Peter could not follow him, but the day would come when Peter would tread the same path to martyrdom as his master. Whatever happened to me at Spring Harvest in Skegness all those years ago? We had an enjoyable week of Christian fellowship and worship. I enjoyed the facilities, I did the family at Butlins. It was a brilliant Christian holiday. But I had no answer to my prayer. We went to the final communion service in the Big Top. And at the end, we joined the 3,000 people coming out of the Big Top, leaving to go back to their chalets, pick up their luggage and return the keys, go to the cars and return home. On the way back from the Big Top, I said to God, where's the answer to my prayer? Where's that encouragement? Within a couple of minutes, out of the crowd of 3,000, a lady, a complete stranger, came out of the crowd and said to me, I have a message from God for you, and it's about your job. Pointing to me, she said, your life has been like a wet matchbox, but now God is going to dry that matchbox and it is going to flare up. The message is for you, she said, and it's about your job. With that, she disappeared into the crowd. To this day, I don't know her from Eve, but I am eternally grateful. And one day I hope to say thanks in heaven because that lady changed my life. Jan wasn't there to witness what had happened, I'd have probably thought I dreamt it. But I'm so glad that lady had the confidence and bravery to come up to me and make that comment. Her comment came true. My life changed and career absolutely hugely after that. My appeal to you all is, if you have a message from God, please, please be brave and pass that word on. It may change their lives. It certainly changed mine. What happened to Peter after Jesus said in Matthew, I've called you Peter the Rock, for on this rock I will build my church. In Acts, Peter takes the lead in the early church, as you know. He was the principal preacher, the spokesman before the Jewish authorities, the president in the administration of discipline. He was the first apostle to be associated with the mission to the Gentiles, and he went to Antioch. He was imprisoned in Jerusalem and had a miraculous escape. Tradition has it that after evangelizing in Egypt, he joined Jude in Persia, Iran today, and Lebanon, and is believed to have been martyred in 65 AD, with one tradition saying Peter was crucified upside down because he didn't deserve to follow his master and be crucified head upwards. I find the story of Peter a great encouragement because Jesus sees the potential for greatness in the sinner, every one of me and you here this morning. May we all be encouraged. Because failure is not final with Jesus, and forgiveness leads to fresh work. Remember, our Master sees not only what we are, but what we can become. And he gives us all, I'm glad to say, a second chance. Amen.